Hello and welcome back to the Lizelle Wellbeing Show, the podcast that brings you weekly wellness wisdom that you can trust. And huge thanks to Anna for leaving this review on her podcast platform of choice about one of our recent episodes. It reads, "Hi Liz, fascinating episode with Celia Dodd that really resonated with me." Oh yes, Anna. So she joined me a few weeks ago to give some advice about relationships with our adult children. Anna goes on to say, "After listening to Celia, I've now reflected that I may be too involved in my kids' lives and maybe I need to take a step back. Not easy, but I can really see the benefits. Thanks, as always, for everything you do." Well, like Anna, if you'd like to get in touch, you can find me on social media at LizelleMe or contact the team at LizelleWellbeing. And please do leave us that all-important review for the podcast because it really does help other people to find us and maybe help them get the expert advice and help that they need too. Now, as we are all too aware, I'm sure the cost of living and therefore the cost of feeding the family is going right up. But so it seems is our desire to eat healthily. Well, according to the British Nutrition Foundation, 62% of us have attempted to improve our diets over the past year. Man, that's great, isn't it? But how on earth can we ensure that we can eat well on a budget and meet the usual time pressures of work and family? Well, today's guest might just have the answer. She is a self-taught chef and food writer whose new book, Feel Good, is focused around quick and easy healthy recipes that can also save you cash. She is the wonderful Melissa Hemsley. Welcome back to the Lizelle Wellbeing Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's been such a long time.
I'm trying to work out when we were sitting on the sofa in that beautiful office.
Yeah, in my studios. Yeah.
Was there a dog called Basil?
There was a dog called Basil. Yes, Basil, the famous leaf chaser. She is still going strong. Gosh, that must be, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, maybe. I think maybe you'd published a book before that. What was your previous book called?
That sounds like it could be Eat Happy. Mm. And that was about 30-minute meals. That sounds about right. Yes. Okay. Yeah. It has been a while. Well, I'm very pleased to be invited back.
Well, it's lovely to have you here. I love all your Instagram and all your colourful, joyful stuff. You're always there with such a beautiful beaming smile and such great colour. It's very uplifting to follow you. But for those who don't already know you, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, how you come to be doing what you're doing now?
Well, I'm 36 now, and it sort of constantly bemuses and baffles me that this, you know, this is my fifth cookbook, because I didn't start cooking until probably about age 21. My mum is a fantastic cook, but whenever she wanted to cook, well, whenever she had to cook dinner, lunch, packed lunch, whatever, she was always working so hard, like many mums, and weekends too. And she was constantly in a sort of kerfuffle and rushing around, racing around. And so I didn't ever get that lovely experience that I'm sort of jealous other people did of, you know, hanging off their mother's apron strings and baking and all of that good stuff. And I know that is not the reality for many families now. Parents don't have time to cook with their kids. Grandkids aren't necessarily around or available. And schools, I just didn't learn to cook at school. So I came to it late. The very short story of the long story is that I fell into cooking for Take That.
How do you fall into cooking for Take That? That sounds quite an extraordinary
Fall, yeah.
Fall, yes. Tumble.
A tumble in to Take That. Oh, that sounds like the sort of a documentary, tumbling in to Take That.
Every young girl's dream, I should
every
think.
Every young girl's dream. Well, actually, I do love Take That and love them even more now because they're such wonderful people. But I was actually a Boyzone fan. So luckily, I wasn't fazed or, you know, flustered cooking for them. How did we fall into it? Well, my big sister Jasmine, who you know well, she modelled for many years and she knew somebody in the industry who was friends with one of them in Take That. And someone said, oh, the band are reuniting. It was, I think, their very first reunion.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And this was when, do you remember when bands didn't reunite? And then it became this big thing. And they've had multiple reunions since. Comebacks, I think they call it. And long story short, my sister was asked if she knew anyone who could cook for them. They wanted to boost their energy, feel fit and lovely, you know, such crazy time schedules and times to eat before stage, after stage, all of that. And my sister said, oh, my sister's on a sabbatical at the moment. I must have been 23-ish. And yeah, I started cooking and I was like, I don't think I want to do this. I'll do it for a week and we'll help him find someone else. And I just absolutely loved it. I remember walking out of one of their houses, absolutely buzzing. I'd spent the day listening to Classic FM. I'd gone and bought the ingredients. Yeah, I'd bought the ingredients in the morning. I'd played Classic FM from 6 a.m. till 5 p.m. I'd cooked whatever I wanted to cook. I'd tidied up. I'd left the food in the fridge and the freezer all labelled up. And I was buzzing. I was like, this feels so good. And I was so happy to receive the feedback and know that I'd left something, you know, made so nourishing with care. And, you know, when you know, at the time, I didn't know them. At the time, I didn't know them. So I didn't care. Obviously, I cared about looking after them. But as I got to know them, that feeling increased. Because, of course, when we care about people, we love feeding them. If we care about our jobs, as any chef will say, or anyone that does food for a living, it just hits the spot in terms of satisfaction to take ingredients, turn them into something. So that's it, really. And it went from there.
Well, I think I first came across you possibly, I don't know, maybe it was your second or third book when you were working with your sister, and I bought one of your famous spiralizers because you were sort of credited with pretty much inventing courgette and that amazing you know, way that you can spiralize vegetables and turn it into pasta. In fact, I've just literally done something for my YouTube channel on that. And every time I get my spiralizer out, I think of you guys.
Aww.
So, you know, you were very much at the forefront of creating alternative healthy hacks, weren't you? Really right at the very beginning.
Oh, that's kind of you to say, Liz. I don't know if we were at the forefront, but I think in terms of mainstream media, you know, we managed to blag a column on Vogue.co.uk when I think Vogue were one of the very first mags to have a digital presence. And yeah, and I remember saying to my friends, oh my gosh, we're going to be in Vogue. And they were like, which issue? And I was like, actually, it's online. And everyone, you know, back then was like, ooh, online's like where they put stuff that people don't really want to read. Do you remember?
Yes, now it's the thing.
Now it's the thing. So I think that we were very lucky to get that opportunity to share a recipe every single week. And then quickly, you know, we were offered a book deal. And I remember we sort of went, oh, gosh, that's very flattering. But we just don't feel at all qualified to write a book. Dear old imposter syndrome. And we were just too busy looking after our clients. And we knew that we wouldn't be able to do both well. So we put it off for a bit. And eventually our clients and then all of their friends and then new prospective clients said, you know, can you just write down your recipe somewhere? Because if we can't get your services, you know, actors and so on, can we at least buy your book? So then we decided to do the book. And as you know, Liz, books are so time consuming.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, they are.
But yeah. But also satisfying.
Yes. And very rewarding when you create something tangible. After all, your lovely food gets eaten and, you know, things washed up. But a book, you know, can sit there for a long time. So how does this new book, the Feel Good book, differ then from Eat Happy and Eat Green? What's special about it?
What's special about it? Well, you know, it's really nice to speak to you now, because as of today, the book's been out for coming up to, well, just over 3 weeks. And so I've received such lovely music to my ears feedback from people that have been cooking from it religiously, almost, it seems. I can't believe how much they've cooked in the last 3 weeks. I almost want to say, do you have jobs? And of course they do. But we forget, of course, that we have to eat 3 times a day, you know, and people love to know that they're eating healthy food. So there's a lot that's different and there's a lot that's same. I'll start with what's the same. Always with my recipes, you can guarantee there will be the theme of being smarter in the kitchen in terms of making the most of your ingredients, saving money, saving on the time you spend in the kitchen so that you've got more time to sit back and put your feet up. I always try to do recipes that are one pan, one tray, as much as possible. And if they're not, there's got to be a bloody good reason.
Yes.
to be a bloody good reason, yeah, to have a second pan or get out a second piece of equipment. And usually it's because I'm suggesting that you batch cook something to roll over into another recipe. What else is the same in my recipes? Always tips, swaps, being flexible, never feeling tied or rigid to a recipe.
Great.
And then what's different, I guess, is this book feels incredibly personal to me because it's a lot about mood and the relationship with food. So food and moods, I talk about my mental health in it and eating for mental health. And I think more and more people, and I'm sure everybody that follows you, Liz, that's listening in now, and hello to you all, are cooking for not just physical health, but mental health. We're interested in brain health. And of course, I'm not an expert or in any way qualified to speak on eating for brain health. But I think I can safely say that all the experts agree that beans are fantastic for us, that a wide variety of vegetables and a rainbow of vegetables, that oily fish and our omega-3s, and lots of leafy greens. And basically, scrap all that away, not stressing over food and not stressing while cooking so that we can digest better. So there's a lot woven in through that. And of course, also, I've got to say from the very beginning, what all my books share is taste factor. So even if you're a very unconfident cook, I hope, and I sort of can see from the last 3 weeks of reviews, that this is a book of crowd-pleasing recipes, even for nervous cooks. And so I always want to make sure that my recipes welcome nervous cooks, people cooking in a budget.
Really good. I mean, you say you're not an expert, Melissa, but you are an ambassador for a mental health charity. So what for you then is the connection with what we eat and how we cook it affecting our mental well-being? Did you come to be an ambassador because of the way you cook and what you cook?
Do you know, I don't know. They never exactly said why they picked me. The one I'm talking about is Mental Health Mate, which was founded about, gosh, I'm so confused about time because of the pandemic. About 6 years ago, mm-hmm, by Bryony Gordon. Has Bryony Gordon been on your podcast?
Oh, she's coming. Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing woman.
You can ask her why she picked me.
Okay, I will.
Because I don't know why. But actually, in terms of why I was so drawn to Mental Health Mates, which for anyone listening is a walk and talk community. So it's run on volunteers, so anyone can set it up. It's now international, and I'm sure you have some international listeners.
Definitely.
Listening in. Yes, but I would suggest that anyone who's interested, just internet searches Mental Health Mates, and you can pop in your postcode or put in your city, and you will be able to see if a volunteer has set up a monthly group. And it's free to attend, and if you haven't got a group near you, perhaps you might want to set one up yourself.
Yes, brilliant.
But basically, yeah, the idea being, and I was really aware of this long before I heard of Mental Health Mates, because when my father passed, the hospice offered walk and talk therapy for all the people left behind. And it was amazing for my mum. She definitely didn't do it for a long while. She was too sad and too nervous to speak to anyone. But the whole idea being, you know, that sometimes it is easier to talk to somebody we don't know, because we don't have to put on a brave face for them. We don't have to, yeah, we don't have to sort of reassure our loved ones that we're okay. And and sometimes not making eye contact while talking can be really helpful.
So agree.
Yes.
I do that with my kids when we're talking through tricky stuff, or I want to raise an issue that's, you know, hard to confront across the table. it's a bit like chatting driving in the car. You know, you're both looking ahead. But I think that whole thing of being able to talk freely without making eye contact, if something's a bit difficult, and you're absolutely right, going for a walk. And of course, all the therapeutic benefits of being outside in the fresh air, or hopefully being in a park or in the countryside with all that lovely nature around you. It's a fantastic idea. It's so simple, isn't it? Some of the simplest ideas turn out to be the very best.
Yes. And I won't say any more so that Bryony can, you know, say it loud and proud. But the way that she set it up is so inspiring. And why she set it up. So she set it up for herself, which I think is so important, because I know you agree with me on this, is that we've got to look after ourselves rather than thinking, gosh, I better look after everybody else and put yourself to the bottom of the list. And Bryony and I had been on the same grief retreat. We hadn't gone at the same time, but I knew she had been on this grief retreat I went on about 5 years ago after my dad passed. And I was still nervous to talk openly about it, but she invited me onto her podcast, Mad Girl. And I said to myself, gosh, don't say anything you'll regret. Don't say anything that your mum will be ashamed of, aka everything to do with mental health and feelings. Yes. And, you know, I just said, oh, don't say anything. And of course, I said everything. I blurted things out. I talked about how my boyfriend and I had bonded after meeting on Tinder, which my mum didn't know about. and, you know, together we sort of dark jokingly called ourselves members of the Dead Dad Club, because his dad had passed when he was very young. My dad had recently was passing. And so many people even now message me and say, thanks for talking about the Dead Dad Club, because, you know, it's the club that no one wants to be in. But actually, Bryony was the catalyst for me going, oh, okay, I can talk about things and I don't have to feel ashamed and no one will think I'm weird and it's okay to be in food and talk about. So I credit so much to Bryony, and that's why I'm so passionate about talking about mental health, mates. And that's woven into my cookbook. And I will say, you know, because my publishers were like, oh, don't talk too much about mental health in your book, because it is a cookbook and we need to sell in the delicious recipes.
Which are delicious. So, yes, that is a given, Liz, kind of thing. No, but they are absolutely. I love the way it's so simple and easy and yummy. It's really good.
Yeah. But there are a million cookbooks out there. Mm. So why churn out another load of great recipes? As much as I could do that with my eyes closed, because I love doing it and I can do it. And I hope people will always love my recipes. But it was really important to me to have a purpose of very gently talking about mental health. And why I'm so pleased to be doing your podcast is, separate to the book exists, and then all these kind of conversations like you and I are enjoying today can delve deeper into it in a way that, you know, the cookbook is not going to be able to cover.
Mm. Well, interestingly, your book actually came from your feel good sessions. Yes. Were they hosted on Instagram?
They were hosted on Instagram, and I wanted to do a second series, and you are top of my list and I'd like to continue them.
Oh, marvellous. And that you started that during lockdown, did you? Similar to me, yes, starting my Instagram lives during lockdown.
Yes.
Well, one of the few good things to come out of lockdown, I think, is creating these wonderful social media communities of positivity.
Again, you know, I didn't want to do it. A bit like most things that I actually enjoy. I don't want to do them, and I talk myself out of them. But my wonderful managers, who you know, said to me, come on, Melissa, you know, do one. And if you hate it, just don't do another. And, you know, nosily, I got to, as a podcast and just interviewing people is, you get to ask people you love questions. And so it ended up being a fantastic experience. And as I was writing the book, which had no name, eventually someone said, I think it was my publishers, why don't you call it Feel Good? Because that is what the sessions were. Don't we all want to feel good, or don't we all want to feel a bit better? And the subtitle is Quick and Easy Recipes for Comfort and Joy. Because again,
love it.
We want to feel comforted. We like to feel cozy, even on the hottest days like today. We like feeling cozy, nourished, nurtured. I just came back, you know, it was so worth the hay fever. I went on an hour and a half walk this morning, because the last 2 weeks I've just been on trains going up and down the UK on bookshops, which I've loved, but I've so missed my walks. And I hadn't checked in with all the little goslings and cygnets and all the baby birds. And I went to see them, and I just, you know, watching them want to stick near each other and be cozy and cuddle up and bask in the sun and, you know, be bum to head with each other. It's the same for us, really. We're all we're all so unique, but we all share this feeling. We all share this desire to feel safe and nourished and good. And cooking can't solve all of our problems, of course, but it can definitely three times a day help us feel that bit better. And I know when I've had a really lovely lunch or a energy boosting breakfast that I'm more likely to make more positive choices for myself that day. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time, the positive choices are the saying no. So I've had a, you know, I had an earlier dinner because I set some boundaries and said to my friends, sorry to be the grandma, but can we have dinner at 7, not 8:30? Because I know I won't digest my dinner and then I'll be up all night, you know, thirsty, going for a wee, I won't sleep well, then I'll be cranky in the morning. Yes. You know, and it really rolls over. And now I'm just very happy to say to my friends, is it okay if we, and you know, they laugh, and then they also will agree. Mm-hmm. When we're all texting each other at 11 p.m. yeah, in bed, everyone's like, oh, it's lovely to get into bed early, and then in the morning I can go for a run, or in the morning I can go for a walk, or make myself breakfast and a packed lunch. It's got such a positive knock-on effect. I love it.
So agree with you. That's actually one of my resolutions made recently, was to start having my supper much earlier. And just exactly as you say, you know, if you make a dinner reservation or meet friends for supper, rather than it being 8:30, make it, you know, 7, 6:45. Now, some of us listening will obviously love cooking, but many of us won't. Do you include help out there for the ones who don't love cooking? I'm actually thinking of my lovely producer, Chezzy, for example, who is not a fan of cooking. Have you got some ideas for people like that?
Definitely. Chezzy, I'm here for you.
Excellent.
I just think it's so important. There's so many competitive cookery shows out there, you know, and they're all at such a high level and high spec, and I think they're fantastic and they're entertaining and they make stars for, you know, they give people a chance to chuck in their jobs and make a career in food, and I love it. But I also think that sometimes, and I really try and show, again, going back to everything we said at the beginning, my more of my real self on Instagram and so on, because there somehow feels like we're all in on a secret about how to be the best cook ever. And it's just, the pressure's too high, and it means that we exclude people who are nervous cooks or don't like cooking or want to start but are too scared to. So I think it's so important to make recipes accessible. And even if you love cooking, it doesn't mean you've got the time to cook all of the time. So one of the things I really like to do, and this also touches on food waste and it touches on being smarter with our money and the time we spend in the kitchen, is I love a little bit of batch cooking. I've seen you batch cook as well, Liz. Mm-hmm. Now, batch cooking, big fan. Batch cooking. Now, to the people who don't like cooking, they're like, oh my God, I don't even like cooking. Now you're telling me to batch cook as well. Come on. So I agree that batch cooking is a little bit easier in the winter because you can make soups and stews and things can roll over a bit easier, and there it's a little bit more obvious what can be frozen, although so much can be frozen. So there's that. So depending on when someone's listening to this, I would always double batch and freeze some of my favorite comfort foods, like a bolognese, whether that's a veggie one or a meat one, or a half and half, which is when I replace half the mince with mushrooms and lentils and is just delicious, or a curry paste, or a fantastic chickpea stew, a Moroccan style chickpea stew, or a dal or something like that. Now in the summer, if you're listening to this as soon as it goes out, one of the things I like to do is batch cook a grain or something like a grain, like quinoa or buckwheat, or, you know, of course your wild rice, your pasta, maybe some orzo, which seems to be the most popular pasta ever these days. What did we all do before orzo? Or lentils, and of course there's a bazillion type of lentils. And then, you know, invest in, I mean, this is all about saving money, but I think if it encourages you to cook more, invest in one set of fantastic leak-proof containers. Sorry, I was trying not to say Tupperware then. Yes. Containers.
Other brands are available.
Other brands are available. Yeah. And if you have got Tupperware or you have plastic containers, Sky Gingles always says use them. But if you want to switch to glass or stainless steel and think that it will help you in the long run, which I definitely agree with, then get them. And so store those, and you can toss through a lovely lemony, maybe an oregano or a lemony thyme or lemony basil vinaigrette. And then I would batch cook some roasted spiced chickpeas. So literally drain a tin of chickpeas, pat them dry, roast them with some harissa or curry powder in the oven, let them cool and they'll crunch up and be crispy. And I put them in another container and they're lovely over salads or to pad out a more light dish. And then I would prep my salads and leafy greens by cleaning them, because I think that if you're veg, a bit like when you're a kid, right? My mum always used to, bless her, even when she was so busy, cut up fruit for me to encourage me to eat it. And I think it's such an expression of love. I remember doing my GCSEs and A-levels and my mum would always have a bit of chopped apple. I mean, it's so easy to bite into an apple, but somehow when someone's chopped it for you,
chopped it up and left it on the side, yeah, you're going to pick it up.
It's
and
love,
eat it, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Love. Yeah. So if you can do that to your veggies, mm-hmm, then you're away with it.
Are we okay to reheat dishes like chicken and rice, for example? I know the older generation always say you shouldn't, but it's fine, is it, to cook it and then pop it in the freezer?
Yes. Absolutely. You know, the key thing with reheating, and I understand why it's worrying and it has good reason to be, and I think the key thing is making sure that you're scribble down on a post-it or on a piece of paper on your fridge when you cook things. You know, when you freeze things, make sure you label it, because with the best will in the world, we all think we've got better memories than we do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And make sure you blast it with heat. So whatever you're doing, whether you're heating up a soup or a pasta sauce, you know, you want to bring it just to the boil and then turn it right down so it's not boiling over. And, you know, leftover rice, leftover chicken, you know, of course, straight away I'm thinking, gosh, well, you've got to make an egg fried rice and leave your rice and chicken and heat it in a big pan so that the bottom crisps up and it gets hot all the way through. Or make a nasi goreng, you know, the Indonesian style fried rice. Delicious. And of course, you can do that with quinoa and all sorts. So heating things through, I think it's so interesting. I know people that have got such organized wardrobes. They iron their bedding and they have really organized sheets and linens, but then they don't really spend any time on their fridge and freezer. And, you know, we're all so different and we've got different priorities. But if you can find the joy in once a week spending half an hour just doing a little order of your fridge, your freezer, your cupboards, thinking about your meal plan, just half an hour asking your family, right, okay, what should we do? Let's plan the meals together this week. Meat-free Monday. What can we do on a Monday? What does everyone fancy? Is it a veggie lasagna? Is it a veggie, I don't know, some sort of bake? And on a Tuesday, can we make Taco Tuesdays? Can we use lettuce cups? Can we grill some tortillas? What should we do on Friday? Should we do fridge-raid fritters? What, you know, we've got carrots and potatoes left. Let's grate them up, combine them with some feta cheese and some spices, fry them into little fritters, fry them into like burgers. It's fun to have a sort of plan to the week. And mm-hmm, my boyfriend and I, during lockdown, when we couldn't go anywhere, we'd be like, let's go to Greece tonight. And we'd put on some Greek music. We'd make something delicious that reminded us, you know, a Greek recipe. But again, I keep an ongoing list of podcasts and music or talks I want to listen to. And I say to myself, oh, you know what? I really don't fancy cooking now, because often I don't. I don't fancy cooking now, but I'm going to do half an hour because it will feel, it's like a little investment to myself. I know I'm going to be busy this week. Let me put something in the fridge. I'll listen to this podcast at the same time. I'll make it fun. And I always feel better afterwards. It just feels nice. A bit like when you get your outfit ready the night before, whether it's for the gym or for your meeting, and it sort of calms it, like, okay, I'm ready, half ready for my meeting, I've got my outfit sorted, or I'm on the way to the gym already because I've got my outfit, my gym outfit. The same thing, I've got a packed lunch ready. I can tackle tomorrow because I know I've got a lovely lunch.
Brilliant. Well, I think that's a very good moment to pause. We're going to take a very quick ad break, but when we come back, I'm going to be grilling Melissa, not literally, but getting top tips for eating well, particularly on a budget, and also tackling the subject of food waste. So don't go away.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you.
Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome back. And Melissa, I mentioned the food waste, and I know that you're also involved with another charity called the Felix Project. And in your book, you talk about ways to reuse leftovers.
That's right. Yep. The fantastic Felix Project, which is based in London and Greater London. And I'm sure near you, wherever you are in the world, you've got similar, a redistribution charity. There's UK Harvest in Sussex. There's so many, and there is so many because, sadly, speaking for the UK in particular, because that's my country and where I know, we've got both a food waste crisis and a hunger crisis. And it's just really tragic and shocking that we are throwing away food and people are going hungry. And charities like the Felix Project go and collect food that's going to be perfectly edible food, I should say, that's going to be thrown out of a supermarket or a shop and or a warehouse, let's say, because it could be a warehouse of people that make, I don't know, almond butter or tin tomatoes or curry paste. And they go and collect it, and very swiftly they take it to warehouses across London, and then volunteers, and this is almost all volunteer led, of course they've got a head office, and then people go out on foot, on bikes, in electric vans, and go and take it to hospitals, community centres, support groups, schools. And I'm actually spending the day with them on Saturday. They've now opened the Felix Project a kitchen, so they're making healthy ready meals, and that's what we'll be doing on Saturday. So I've no idea what we're going to cook, because of course it's based on what gets given to us, what gets picked up on Friday night or Saturday morning is what we'll cook Saturday mid-morning, and it will go out from there. So it is very sad that charities like this have to exist, but the work they do is remarkable. And they accept donations, of course, if you'd like to help out by donating, you know, £5 would be so helpful. But if you are interested in volunteering, again, we've used the words a lot today, Liz, haven't we? Satisfying and rewarding. You know, being part of a community, for me, the Felix Project or Mental Health Mate, is really rewarding. And when I'm feeling low in spirits, depressed, anxious, lost my way, you know, all manner of things, I say to myself, you know what, I'm gonna, if I haven't already, I'm gonna put a date in the diary to go and spend some time, because I know that I can be useful even when I'm not feeling great by helping out. And so it is one of the things I do because I think it's important to do it, but also, you know, selfishly I feel a sense of purpose And I enjoy the feeling of community that I get from the other volunteers. So, yeah, I love doing it. And I'm sure I'll always do it. And if someone listening doesn't have a local support group, you know, DM me and together we'll work it out where your nearest one is. But as I say, it's sad. There are so many charities, small and large, that work on food waste.
It's interesting, isn't it? When you look at corporations and the big manufacturers, the food waste is often governed by sell-by dates or use-by dates. In the home, do you think that we're a bit too strict when it comes to sell-by dates?
Yes. A little bit like when you ask the question, which a lot of people ask, about reheating food. We've had some scares every now and then. Of course, there is a scare where something, you know, a vulnerable person eats something that wasn't cooked through or reheated through. But in general, those that aren't vulnerable can afford to be doing, you know, the sniff test. Just this morning, making my mum a cup of tea, I sniffed my milk.
Mm-hmm. Same.
And, you know, yes. That's just, and some people listening might be like, that is the most obvious thing I've heard in the world. Of course you sniff and see, but it's different to those of us that cook with leftovers or those of us that do the scratch and sniff or chop off something that doesn't look, you know, has got a bit bashed. That's habitual. We wouldn't think about doing that. But to others that have got nervous because, I don't know, maybe they're opening a bag of rocket, let's say, because rocket and salad leaves are one of the most thrown away products in our weekly shops. So say you open your rocket and it's got a strong smell at first. Well, most things, if you open them, have a strong smell at first. But then you look at it and maybe there's a bit of rocket at the top or a bit of, I don't know, lettuce at the top that's a little bit sad. Of course, don't throw away the whole bag. Shake it out into a colander, pick out the bits that aren't fantastic, and then you can use the rest. Now, I would use that rocket as a salad if I picked out the bits that weren't fantastic, or you could blitz them into a pesto by adding some basil and nuts and some cheese, or you could add a handful of rocket to your, I don't know, your minestrone or your chickpea stew and wilt down your rocket so you're cooking it if you're a bit more nervous, but equally, it's a delicious way to cook. Maybe your lettuce is looking a little bit less than perky. And I would stir fry lettuce as they do in Asia. My mum's from the Philippines and they do it a lot in China. They stir fry their lettuce. Or
great
you can
idea.
Grill your cabbage. Mm. Yeah. Slice your cabbage into quarters. Cabbage is, the last time I checked, my red cabbage was about 49p and it was ginormous. And I used a third of it in a slaw with some feta. It was delicious. What did I do? I braised the other third and had it with like some leftover chicken from the roast dinner. And the other third I sliced into wedges and I brushed them with some oil. And I grilled them. I put them under the oven, but you could put them in the barbecue. And then I put some like chimichurri, like herby green sauce over the top. So three ways with cabbage, as an example.
Not bad. I mean, three dishes for 49.
Delicious dishes.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Interestingly,
yeah, and same with...
I was just going to say, talking about the brassicas, two vegetables that probably our listeners have got in their fridge maybe right now might be cauliflower and broccoli. And you've highlighted that a lot of people might be throwing away some of the best bits of these vegetables.
Mm. Well, again, isn't it interesting? Who's decided which are the best bits? So perhaps when we were younger, we grew up in a household where, let's say, cauliflower, the leaves were stripped off, or maybe we even bought the cauliflower without the leaves. Maybe some people aren't even used to seeing the cauliflower enveloped in its beautiful leaves. But now we know that roasting those leaves is delicious and combining them into whatever we're cooking or using the little scoopy leaves as little vessels to scoop up some hummus once they've been roasted and they're delicious and they go sweeter. And the broccoli stem, maybe we always chopped our broccoli into little broccoli trees and discarded a good,
chuck away the 40%.
Stem. And the stem is beautiful.
What would you do with a broccoli stem?
What would I do with it? Well, what I would do is I'd probably take a peeler or just use my knife to trim off any really knobbly bits that you know people are going to not eat, if that makes sense. So if you think your kids aren't going to eat it because it's got like a bit of an imperfect bit, I would just peel that bit off or slice it off. And then I would just finely chop the stems, again use it in a stir fry, or chop it really small and toss it through some pasta with some pesto, add it into a minestrone. Anything like that would be so delicious, and they're just as tasty. And same with herbs, of course, like mint stems I just throw my mint stems into a teapot and then add some fresh mint leaves and have a mint tea in the evening, because the mint stems have got flavour, or use it to infuse water. But everything else, your soft summer herbs, your basils, your dill, your coriander and parsley, those stems are so flavourful. Tomorrow night, my mate's coming over and I'm going to do her, it's in the book, it's in Feel Good, roast cauliflower, cherry tomatoes and beans. And I haven't decided what beans, because it will be whatever beans are in my bean cupboard. I've got a cupboard of tins, and I try and challenge myself to not fall back on the old chickpea and use a different bean. So I'll roast the cauliflower leaves, the cherry tomatoes and the beans. And then I will blitz up whatever herb stems and herbs I've got. Maybe if I've got some rocket, I'll blitz that up. I'll probably save a few of the beans and blitz it into that, so it's chunkier and smoother. And then I take that lovely green chunky dip, you know, swirl it onto the base of a plate, pile on, like tumble on the roasted cauliflower and the cauliflower leaves and the sweet cherry tomatoes when they're just bursting. And then I'll probably scatter it with a bit of feta, or maybe I'll fry a little bit of halloumi, or I'll throw some halloumi into the roasting tray at the end of the cooking time. And that will be a lovely veg based. And how many different veg have I got in there? I've got my cauliflower, I've got my cherry tomatoes, I've got greens in my dip, sort of base beans, of it. So I've got maybe herbs. I've got my beans, my herbs. Delicious.
Yeah, your gut microbes are going to be super happy with all of that.
They're going to be happy. And it will be simple, because the oven will do the work.
Yeah.
And I'll serve it probably warm, you know, because it's going to be hot tomorrow. So it will be, I can finish roasting it as she arrives. We can pour a glass of wine and it can be delicious warm if it's a hot evening.
Yeah.
Lovely.
I'll be over.
Come over, Liz.
6:45. Yeah, early supper.
See you there. Exactly. Exactly.
Now, is there one staple ingredient, do you think, that we should all be keeping in our fridge? Or do you have a favourite, or one or two favourites that you always have to have to cook with?
I would say, above all else, you know, thinking about the brain and mental health and nutritionists I know, is leafy greens. So I almost always have them in the fridge. And if I've got one of those weeks, which feels like every week, where it's a bit stop start, I don't know if I'm in tonight or not in tonight, then I will either freeze them or buy the frozen veg. So frozen kale, frozen broccoli. I bought some frozen asparagus the other day and I ended up turning it into a beautiful asparagus pea soup. So it was literally a frozen soup and it was amazing. And it was so good when I hadn't had any green veg for 2 days because I was on a book tour. So I've always got my greens, my leafy dark greens. And again, I like to turn them into pestos, throw them into soups and salads, roast them. Like a little bit of roast kale through a salad would be absolutely delicious. So I think the leafy greens, because I feel like they're the sort of veg group that often gets missed out on. I feel like a lot of us will eat our carrots and our peas and our broccoli and peppers and tomatoes. They always end up in the weekly shop. They're sort of habitual veg. But I think the leafy greens often get left out. And I sort of challenge myself at each meal to see if I can get a little bit in, whether I'm having a frittata, so chopping some greens through it, or throwing a handful of greens into my smoothie, or serving some with my dinner, or in a pesto, as I say, or stirred into a dal right at the end. That's my little challenge, a little bit of green with every meal.
Bit of green, I love it. And presumably, are you a big fan of batch freezing greens? Because I have a small veggie garden and I find that all my greens come up at the same time. I love Swiss chard and broccoli and, you know, all the brassicas and kale when it's tiny, you know, little baby kale.
Kalettes.
And then it's all there at once. And so I do actually pick it all and just blanch it very briefly and then spread it out on a tray and then sort of freeze
it. That sounds good.
Add a handful into anything. I'm like you,
yes.
Leafy greens. And even for breakfast, you know, I try not to eat carbs for breakfast. So having a base of greens, like some tender stem broccoli with a bit of avocado on top or a poached egg or something like that, I find keeps me off the carbs as well.
I've got in the book soft boiled eggs. I do them with halloumi dippers, but also with asparagus or broccoli. I just dunk it into my eggs. It's delicious.
Nice.
Another thing, when you're shopping, we know that, of course, the big shops do reductions in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So I've noticed that one of the things they go big on reductions for is greens, because they go off quicker than your carrots and your more staple veg. So definitely look out for them. And when you see them on offer, yep, do as Liz does, blanch them, freeze them. Same with berries, really. I had some fantastic strawberries this week, but of course the berry season is short. So in general, I buy frozen berries and they're much more affordable.
Much more affordable.
Too.
Yeah. And also, I just bought online actually a big kilo bag of dried blueberries, freeze dried blueberries.
Oh, lovely.
Because I love blueberries. My kids love them, but they're way expensive and they come in those little plastic pots that really annoy me because they're gone in a flash and then you've got this single use plastic. And I've yet to see them in packed in any other way. But I think having a handful of freeze-dried blueberries that you can then reconstitute, you know, shove it into yogurt, make it into a smoothie, getting all the goodness. And it's so much less expensive than buying them fresh and still really tasty.
Very tasty. Actually, you've just reminded me, Liz, something to say, you know, in terms of reconstituted, which is the most unsexy, undelicious sounding word. But I recently was making, there's a recipe in Feel Good, which is called shiitake mushroom adobo, which is a veg version of the classic Filipino dish, chicken adobo. And as I said, my mom's from the Philippines and chicken adobo is sort of the unofficial national dish, and it's chicken, so simple, chicken braised and lots of garlic and tamari or soy and a bay leaf and lots of black pepper and a little bit of vinegar, and it's so delicious and very quick. So I wanted to do a veggie version, so it's a mushroom version. And in the book I serve it with coconut rice, and you've got to make it, and sometimes I put a fried egg on it. Anyway, I was chatting to someone and we were talking about how coconut milk, the good quality stuff, and is very expensive. And sometimes you only need half a tin, let's say, as well. So we were talking about the two great and much cheaper coconut milk alternatives. So one is you can buy coconut milk powder, which is really, really delicious. And you just add that to your rice as it's cooking. And another thing you can buy is a coconut cream bar, and you just slice off however much you want, add it to your rice as it's cooking, or add it to your curries, your dals. And they last, you just take what you need and they take up much less space and they're much cheaper. So if you love cooking with coconut, that's a good little tip. So coconut milk or coconut cream bar.
Great. Could you make coconut milk from desiccated coconut?
You can, but I've never done it. Mm. Have you got a lot of desiccated coconut to use up?
I do have quite a lot of desiccated coconut and I don't actually like it. So I was wondering,
really?
I'll shove a load of water in it. And the other thing that I want to try, and I don't know whether you've tried this, is I get really annoyed with the packets of oat milk because, you know, they can made with seed oil and they've got all the plastic liners in the packet and all of that. And actually, it should be very cheap and easy to make our own oat milk. I've heard people do it just using oats soaked overnight in water. Have you ever tried that?
I have done it, but I don't actually have, I don't drink oat milk that much.
No, not me. I'm a dairy milk girl myself, but I was just wondering.
Me too, but that is a good tip. And then I know what people do is they then use the soaked oats and they'll turn it into something like baked oats.
Fabulous.
And in my book, there's three versions and my favourite is a carrot cake baked oat. And what's lovely is you can make a big baking tin of it and then just reheat what you need during the week. I know loads of busy parents that do that. One other thing, Liz, little tip for your leftover desiccated coconut. Mm. I love to do what I learned in Sri Lanka, where you toast it and then bash it up in a pestle and mortar or in a blitzer with coriander and green chili and some lime and turn it into a lovely little sort of salsa to put on top of food is a delicious thing.
Ooh, okay.
Or I've got these little fruity, nutty oat bites, which are my favourite thing to take on a walk or have after a workout. And you could combine some coconut with oats so that, you know, if you really don't like coconut, you won't enjoy it. But maybe you could give them away to your kids.
Yes.
Re-gift your coconut.
Yeah. Well, it's not that I don't like it. I just don't like it in huge quantities. But that's
brilliant. Yeah.
So to end with, Melissa, can we maybe pick a favourite recipe in the book? Do you have one, or are there too many faves to choose?
That's tough.
It's like saying which is your favourite child, you know?
Do you have one? Liz, I think you'll like my farinata because It is very quick. Chickpea flour is very affordable and easy to get. And a bit like when you're making a Yorkshire pudding, you take your biggest roasting tray, you heat up some oil, you whisk up the chickpea flour with some salt and pepper, maybe some chili and oregano if you like. You pour it into the hot oil in the tray, and then I stud it with my favourite pizza topping. So olive, sun-dried tomatoes, rosemary, some red onion. I grate some cheddar or some parmesan, or put a little bit of feta through it. And it's absolutely delicious. And then you bake it and you slice it up or chop it up into little canapé slices. And I have that with fish or a big salad, or as I say, have it as a starter. It's amazing. And then pudding wise, 3-ingredient chocolate pots, chocolate, dates, and you and I would go for our dairy milk, but people can use hazelnut milk, oat milk, and you make these sweet, gorgeous, rich little chocolate pots, a little sprinkle of sea salt. And then right now I'm having them with raspberries on top. I can't wait to have them with cherries when it's cherry season.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then in the later months, you could roast some figs with a bit of booze, like some figs. If you've got any brandy or anything like that, you could roast figs and brandy and then have that on top. Delicious. All really easy and simple.
Wonderful. Melissa, it's such a joy to talk to you about so many things. It's a real, real pleasure. And of course, for more of your amazingly delicious recipes, we will just have to go and buy the book.
Thanks, Liz.
Well, your book, Feel Good, is out now.
That's it. Thank you so much.
And how do we follow you on social?
I'm at melissa.hemsley on Instagram. And yeah, on my website is melissahemsley.com, and there's lots of recipes on there as well.
Fabulous. Thank you very much, sweethearts. Great to have you back.
Thank
and I wish you huge success with it. Thank you. And thanks to you for listening. And as always, you will find more information with links and resources over on lizellewellbeing.com. There you can sign up for the free weekly newsletter, filled not only with plenty of tips for living well, but also delicious, tasty, healthy, nutritious recipes just right to coordinate with today's guest. And don't forget, you've got more advice, research, articles and recipes, of course, in our bi-monthly Liz R Wellbeing magazine. If you'd like to get in touch, as I said at the top of the show, you can find me on social media at Lizelle Me or the team at Lizelle Wellbeing. So until the next time we chat, go well. Bye-bye. The Lizelle Wellbeing Show is presented by me, Lizelle, and is a Fresh Air production, with thanks to my producers, Ellie Smith, Jessie Bent, and Sarah Moore.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.